Revving up the lean brace. Fasten your seatbelts and hold on your carrots, comrades. We're going to burn some high-performance health rubber. You're about to enter the lean brace throwdown zone, accelerating for the simple solutions. We are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Lean Braze radio show at theleanbraze.com. Welcome, Braze. I'm Ron Jones, and I've got Tom Blusky and his wife Kim here today. And Cheryl, I'm going to let you say your last name.
DeVore Trudeau.
Okay. She's a nurse that helps Tom out. And we're all Lean Braze, and we're here to talk about Tom's story, which has been a pretty amazing thing that he's been through the last few years. And I'll let him get into the details of that. But one thing that struck me about meeting Tom last year was his spirit to do absolutely as much as he can despite having some medical issues. So welcome to Lean Braze.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
Looking forward to being able to get my story out there and let everybody know how important it is to never, ever, ever give up.
Yeah. You got a lot of fighting spirit, and that's one of the things we like to do here is just try to get people inspired to, you know, kick some ass and get out there and live life to the fullest, right?
That's it.
So you were an avid athlete your whole life. We talked a little bit last year. You did some bike racing and motorcycle riding and weightlifting and
Pretty much. I lived a very active lifestyle ever since I was a kid, a fat little kid in elementary school, and started to kind of lean out and get a little more fit in junior high school, and became a dedicated avid athlete in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Played football, ran some track, you know, and a lot of basketball, and then just kind of graduated on from that point, became a runner, and after high school, and loved to run, and that's where I really got addicted to just fitness overall, just wanting to be healthy, and I kind of achieved what a lot of people like to call the runner's high.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go out and you get that exercise, you run your 4, 5, 8 miles, whatever it is that day, you come home, you're beat, take a swim or a shower, and 15 minutes later you feel like you're on some kind of drug. You know, you got those endorphins flowing, and
yeah,
it's just great. And ever since then, for me, exercise was a daily part of my regimen.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't get out and do something physical on a daily basis,
mm-hmm,
I felt as though my day was incomplete. And a lot of cross training, lots and lots of different sports.
And a few years ago, that came to a temporary halt. I won't say a full halt because you're out there doing quite a bit. But can you tell us what happened?
Well, you know, it did. It came to a screeching halt. It was really scary. I was out with my boys in the desert on Mojave riding motorcycles with my brother-in-law and my nephew and two of my sons. And just, you know, like we did weekends all the time during the winter and the fall, we'd get out and go for a ride, and it was morning. And we'd been out for about an hour, and we were heading back towards camp to take a lunch break. And I was riding out in front of my nephew, my two boys, and my brother-in-law. And there was an obstacle ahead. And being concerned about my boys and my nephew, I looked back to see where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And noticed he was very close behind me. And when I looked back to see the obstacle, it was a little bit too late to react. And rather than just go over it and let him deal with it, you know, in a shrouded cloud of dirt and dust, I decided that I was going to try to stop. And I didn't make it. Mm. I went over the handlebars, and I impaled into a embankment head first, and basically compressed my spinal cord between C4 and C7, and that rendered me paralyzed. So I was airlifted to Kern Hospital and started being treated for many, many injuries that I sustained in the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was I paralyzed, but my face was crushed. My helmet basically came up through my face and broke my right orbital socket above my eye and crushed my sinuses and my cheek and damaged my nose. And the helmet was pushed up into my forehead. And they told me that within a couple of millimeters, I may have ended up brain dead. So my face was put back together again. I'm blind in my right eye. Mm-hmm. My vocal cords were crushed. You know, it was a very, well, I would say, you know, I almost died pretty much, and spent 6 weeks in the ICU and got put back together again. And my beautiful wife, Kim, was my advocate mm-hmm. that allowed me to keep on fighting. And she made sure that everything that I needed was given to me. The doctors, the surgeons didn't want to put me back together again. They figured that I was a lost cause. Mm-hmm. And my wife told them that I was in there and that I'm a fighter and that they needed to do whatever they could do to get me back. So they did the surgeries. I ended up in a coma for almost 2 days, came out of the coma, and continued to get better, and slowly but surely made my way out of the ICU with the help of my wife, again, being my advocate, and getting me the help that I needed. And from that point, went to Valley Presbyterian Hospital. I was held there while, once again, she fought to get me into the respiratory hospital mm-hmm. at Barlow. And I transferred to Barlow, where I was on a mission to get off the vent because I was on a ventilator and a feeding tube and had a trach. And they pretty much told me that the likelihood of me getting off of the vent at 48 years old was very unlikely. But once again, my wife knew that I was in there and that I had the fight to go ahead and get better. And so I battled in Barlow to get off the vent. And I could tell you right now that one of the only reasons, well, probably the major reason, besides having my wife help me, was the fact that I was an avid athlete and my cardiovascular fitness and the strength of my heart and lungs is what got me off the ventilator.
You had a fighting chance.
Yeah. I did. Because of my the fact that I was an athlete previously, mm-hmm. Gave me the ability at my age to actually get off the ventilator. Had I not been as fit as I was, it wouldn't have happened.
You probably would have been done. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would have been dead at the ICU for sure. So, you know, being fit and having a good level of fitness was definitely a major contributing factor mm-hmm. to being able to get through all this and get back with the living.
And we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about like some pretty amazing things you're doing now with Taylor Isaacs, who's a physical therapist guy down in Northridge, is one of the most amazing exercise physiologist. One of the most amazing healer type people I've ever met. But I've spent some time talking to your wife, Kim, who's here today, and I'd like you to kind of explain all the things they said that Tom wouldn't be able to do.
Well,
because it was pretty lengthy.
It was from the time he was ready to be discharged from the intensive care unit, they wanted him to go straight to a nursing home. And it's a few times in life, things hit you in the face like that when it's easy for you to say, there's no way this is happening. I just knew. I didn't know what the possibilities were. I didn't know anybody who had a spinal cord injury. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anybody could live at home, but I knew that he was not going to a nursing home because he would have died in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. I knew he had to get better. Valley Presbyterian Hospital is my employer, and they saved us by taking him in there while they negotiated with insurance company to get him into the respiratory hospital. And while he was in the respiratory hospital, of course, I was told, well, we may be able to get him off the vent, possibly, but he'll never get rid of the trach. So that was another issue where I said, well, give him a chance because
he's a fighter.
This guy's not going to stop.
Yeah.
I know his heart is not going to stop. He's made that clear. Mm-hmm. And his respiratory is obviously very strong. So let's just, you know, one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And all along the way, he's never going to move anything from the shoulders down. They told me he'd come home in a wheelchair that he had to drive with a straw with his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to talk to him in the hospital. I said, honey, we've got to find some way to use your mind. You know, we need a coach. We need a coach for your mind, because we're going to make this work. And he, with his mouth wired shut and breathing on the ventilator, he whispered in my ear, "I need a football coach." And that's his spirit. That is his spirit. That's what pulled him out of, you know, every situation on the way. And he's gone further than anybody expected.
That's amazing. So that led you eventually down to Taylor.
Well, Taylor was a quest of my wife and my wife's sister, Carrie. As soon as I was injured I had my spinal cord injury, the two of them went on a tear trying to figure out where and who I could go to see in order to get better, because they knew that with the right help, I would be able to make advancements and get better than I was told I was going to be. So they went on the web, on the internet, and they checked places from Maryland to Colorado to wherever these spinal cord injury clinics were. And the idea was that I was going to go somewhere and get the help I needed. Well, one day the name Taylor Isaacs came up, and my wife decided that she was going to go check him out. And lo and behold, he was local. He was right down in Northridge. Mm-hmm. So Kim got the address, went to the gym unannounced, and kind of walked in and was off in the corner, 30 or 40 feet away from Taylor, and watched Taylor work with a spinal cord injured patient who, she didn't know Taylor, she didn't know the patient. But just by watching Taylor work with this person, she knew right there, it was like a light bulb went off, that this is the guy that could work with my husband. And from that point, she introduced herself and let Taylor know what was going on and gave him some information. And Taylor is an amazing guy.
He's a passionate dude, man.
He's one in a million, because it took 3 months before Taylor actually took me on as a client. And it's like he researched my personality, my background, my injury, my family. And if he takes you on as a client, it's almost as though you're married to him. And he is so dedicated to what he does, and the methodology that he applies to applying what he knows to getting me better and all his patients, his clients better, is truly amazing. And what I've done and where I've come from, being, like my wife said, supposed to be driving a wheelchair with a straw, to the point now where I walk around, open door. I don't walk around. I roll around.
Yeah.
I open doors. I turn light switches off and on. As you saw in a video,
I saw your drinking video.
That's right. My drinking video, where I had a little alcohol on board, and I was drinking water out of my own Arrowhead water bottle.
Right.
And, you know, that's mobility and movement that was never, ever supposed to come back. And I've got that because Taylor's a great person to work with.
Yeah.
But more or less, it's also the fact that I won't give up, and I will do whatever it takes, and however hard I have to work to regain as much function as possible. And it goes back to, you know, the way I was previous to my injury. I tell everybody, before I got hurt, I played hard. I loved to go out and really go at life and enjoy myself with whatever I was doing, whatever sport it was. And now I'm a quad. So if I get a chance to work out on a piece of machinery, I'm going to go really hard, as hard as I possibly can, and regain as much function as I can and get the fitness out of that piece of equipment that I can achieve. And, you know, it's different. It's really different. But I'm making improvements. And that's just the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be.
So I saw that fighting spirit last year at the Blues Festival. I guess I should mention you're actually somewhat of a neighbor of mine. We're in Santa Clarita here in northern L.A. County. And I live just right around the corner down the street, and I do some photography for fun. I was shooting the Blues Festival, and they were raising money for some dude named Tom, and my brother was shooting the video, and I was taking the stills, and I saw you stand up on stage at the end there. And, you know, being a wellness guy and a Lean Bray person, I just thought, I need to find out more about this guy, because that was pretty amazing. And I went over to your booth and I was reading what happened, and emailed Kim and went down and saw Taylor. And so we've kind of hung out a little bit and chatted back and forth the last year. And it's just, it's really an amazing story what you can do when you put your mind to it and just refuse to give up. And I think a lot of people today, we were talking before the show, some of the kids, you know, they just, they're not being raised in that physical culture. Like, you know, we're about the same age, so they're not given the opportunity to experience those things that we experienced.
Well, I think there's a major change in culture nowadays. Mm-hmm. You and I both, I think if I say this, you'll probably just nod your head and say, yeah, that's exactly how it was. But when we grew up, we came home from school, we got our homework done as quickly as possible, yep. or maybe later that night, but time was spent outdoors.
Right.
Riding our bike, pick up football games, playing baseball, frisbee, mm-hmm. tag, whatever. It was outdoors until your parents were yelling and screaming to get your butt in the door.
They
and
had to make us come in.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the way we all grew up. And just being outdoors and running around gives you that fitness that kids get. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays you got some guys have programs where they're telling everybody they want you to get out and have 60 minutes of exercise each day.
Right.
And that's supposed to be some big achievement.
Yeah.
And I just kind of giggle and I go, are you kidding me? 60 minutes?
That's all?
Yeah. I mean, we were active from the time we got up until we had to come in and, you know, wash up for dinner.
Right.
And nowadays kids are very sedimentary, you know, mm-hmm. Everybody's got their electronics and their technology and their Facebooking and computers and television and video games. Mm-hmm. And like we just said, you know, 60 minutes of exercise a day, that's the big achievement. And I'd say probably the majority of kids don't get that. They're very sedimentary. They eat poorly. They drink crap, mm-hmm. you know, sugar laced, you know, Coke and whatever it is. And it just deteriorates their bodies.
And it is. They're graduating from high school with adult diseases.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. you got to be kidding me. I mean, what's that all about?
And before the show, you're talking about your blood test, and despite everything you've been through, it's pretty clean, right, Cheryl? Cheryl's the nurse helping him out there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, and that's another thing. You know, my wife made me do this when we got married. I was not real into doctors, but she always said, you know, we're going to get a physical every year and work that blood work and see where we're at. And ever since Kim got that little methodology or into me, you know, I was all into it. Yeah, I'll go get my physical every year and get my blood work done. And it was really cool to be able to monitor where you're at. And after my injury, I knew that if I didn't eat right, and I started to just let myself go, the blood work thing's going to go right off the charts.
Right.
And if that happens, that's how you get your hypertension and mm-hmm. your diabetes and all these secondary diseases. Mm-hmm. And now I'm 51. And if I let that go, I'm not going to live too much longer
right.
in my condition.
Right.
But I've been able to, through exercise and diet, keep my blood work pretty much exactly where it was previous to my injury.
Wow, that's amazing. And, and that was in 2008 when you were injured?
Yeah, January of 2008.
Okay, and so here it is, 2011, April. Mm-hmm. And what's your current regimen? And you know, the Lean Berets were about no excuses, so pretty impressive guy with Tom, among all the things that he does and refuses to make excuses for himself. So I was with you at Taylor's down in Northridge last year, and you said, hey, I worked out every day before the accident, and that's what I still do, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my regimen now is 5 to 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. I'm doing something either at the gym or with a physical therapist. So currently, I'm doing 2 days a week physical therapy for about an hour and a half with a physical therapist, and we work a lot on increasing range of motion, strengthening, flexibility, and coordination. And the gentleman I'm working with over at Valley Press, Robin, is really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying that. And then I work definitely 3 days with Taylor, where one day I go in and I get on a device called the T5. It's a recumbent stepper. And it's a really nice piece of equipment because for the first time since I've been injured, I've been able to get on a piece of equipment where I can quantify my workout.
And who makes that?
It's made by NewStep.
Yeah, I saw that at the IRSA equipment show.
Yeah, it's a really cool piece of equipment.
Yeah, the LAP PD officer that was paralyzed and a gunshot.
Right.
The lady was down
also
there demonstrating.
A patient of Taylor's.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she did rehab with him also.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a piece of equipment that anybody can use. You could put somebody on that piece of equipment that maybe is recovering from just being unfit
mm-hmm.
and wants to be able to get a cardiovascular workout. It has several levels of resistance. It measures your time, tells you how many calories you burn. I mean, it's, you know, it's the real deal.
And you're a competitive guy, so you're playing with that.
I do. I increase the levels of resistance,
yeah.
and I try to do my 2 mile workout and knock it down and get finished in a shorter period of time.
Yeah.
And as I increase the resistance and I'm able to achieve it the same amount of time, I just keep getting stronger and stronger.
So one thing I noticed watching him, Kim, work out with Taylor, is that it's not a passive thing. I mean, you're busting your ass. I mean,
oh,
you're really
yeah.
working hard. And I could just see the determination, not just on Taylor's face, but your face as well. You're working hard.
Well, yeah, the other 2 days, like I was saying, those are days that I work with Taylor.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, it's a one-on-one, and it is. It's very, very physical. It's interesting if somebody would come in and look at it that doesn't understand fitness, they would see it as not being that difficult because
mm-hmm.
they don't really understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're paralyzed, just sitting unsupported
mm-hmm.
is work because your core is active
mm-hmm.
and your whole body is actually concentrating on making sitting an exercise. But that's just the beginning of what goes on. You know, there's strengthening range of motion, strengthening my limbs, all of that stuff. And when I'm done with that hour, I feel as though it's similar to me having gone out and ran, and I've been running for 45 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, the level of physical stress that I get from a workout with Taylor is about at the same level as going out and getting a run or a bike ride.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of neurological work, which is taxing on your body.
Well, you know, that's really interesting because there's a lot of mental focus that comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor's really good at like putting me in a zone when I work with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's very focused, get a lot of eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
The language that he uses is very directing as to what it is that he wants you to be doing and thinking about. He describes in particular what movement you're doing and how you are to think about it while you're doing it. So say you're working on extension of your leg
mm-hmm.
and how your quads and your knee joint are active in this movement. And he wants to really focus on making that happen. And obviously when you're paralyzed, you don't technically have control of that anymore because your spinal cord's injured.
Right.
But through the, neurological plasticity.
Yeah, yeah.
You can utilize the part of the spinal cord that's not injured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, in my injury, my right side of my body is a little bit more functional than my left, even through this recovery. And what happens is you can send signals down through the spinal cord that control the right side of your body,
mm-hmm.
and they'll transition and make their way to the left. And it's that neurological plasticity that is re-educating your body how to utilize what it has to make things work again.
Right. And then this is something I'm into a little bit as well.
It's crazy.
Not that I'm doing what Taylor's doing, but I've studied neuroplasticity a little bit mm-hmm. and the neuroscience that's out there. And it's just fascinating what people are able to do now. We used to think the brain was wired a certain way and the brain cells just died as we gotten older. But now we know that it's highly plastic, which means it can be molded in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the spinal neurological system in general.
Yeah, and it can relearn.
And it can relearn, right. I met a guy last year who was in a really bad bike crash and crushed his arm, and he had to completely relearn how to do things in the opposite arm, and he thought he could never do that. And all of a sudden, when he had to, he did,
yeah.
You know? And so there are a lot of people, if you're listening and you don't realize this, there are a lot of people that have been paralyzed, and they're starting to walk again. And again, like Kim said, you weren't predicted to do much of anything, but I saw you stand up at the Blues Festival. I saw the drinking video where you're raising the water on your own and drinking out of the bottle yourself. You know, as we're talking today, and you've got body language and movement with your arms, and it's amazing what's being done.
Things are coming back. I think we're living in a very interesting time. I think that, like you said, there's a lot of information coming out there and a lot of new medical information out that's making people aware of the fact that if you're paralyzed, it's not the end, that you can, in fact, rehab, and your body will learn how to do things if you're willing to put the time in.
And there's a quote on your website, and by the way, Tom's website is tomsrecovery.com, and it says, "Anything is possible, act accordingly." Where did that come from?
That'd be my wife. That's some terminology, right, Kim?
I'm not sure where I heard that one. I hate to quote things and not give credit in the right place, but that one really stuck with us.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you're told, if you think it and believe it, you can do it.
Things start happening.
You can do it. I want to go back to Tom's exercise regimen, though, because him working out at physical therapy and working out at the gym is only a part. That's an hour a day or 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
But Cheryl does a lot with him at home.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, what goes on beyond that, Cheryl. Cheryl's a nurse that helps Tom out.
Well, Tom is very motivating. When I first came on board, I was a little hesitant because I had been working with mostly pediatrics. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I was going to have conversation. I was going to have to speak with him. And it's really been a blessing for me. He inspires me. I've actually started eating better and exercising more. He is nonstop.
That's great.
He is just... He's a blessing in my life, and Kim as well. Tom, every morning he goes through range of motion from toes to the top of his head. He's getting better at the ranging. We do that. Well, the CNA, he does it most mornings, and I do it once a week with Tom. That takes about an hour to 2 hours.
So
that's every day, 7 days a week.
So you're moving all of his joints through full ranges
of
motion.
Exactly.
And why do you do that? So people will know.
For more flexibility, and so that he can, increase his range and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to stop doing that. And Tom is getting more active in it too, so it's active ranging as well. And
can you feel anything in the lower extremities at this point? When you're working with him, is he pulling and pushing and?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
He does. He does.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've only been working with him since November, and I can already see an improvement and in his muscles and his strength, and like he said, his core.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom also likes to get up into his stander. It's a standing frame. And he'll stand in there. When I first came on, it was about an hour, and now he'll be in the standing frame sometimes 2-3 hours. And then when he's through standing, I lower him down, and he'll sit in there, and he... We'll put weights on his arms.
Mm-hmm.
I put weights on his wrists, and he'll do like punching exercises. So I have to watch out, keep myself in line. And he does sit ups.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I recline the back, and he'll do lots of sit ups.
Well, down at about 30 degrees. Just, not full of sit ups yet. I'm working on it.
You're working on it though.
Yeah, but it's getting better.
Better than most people.
He
works out harder than most people.
Yeah,
that
one of the quotes around the house here is that, before I got injured, I definitely worked out the most from anybody in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That included my kids who were playing football.
Yeah.
And now I'm the quad, but I still work out more than anybody in the house.
Nothing's changed.
True,
right?
True.
That's right.
Now, I noticed you live right next to the park. And I got to ask you, when you got the house, did you get the house here so you could go out and have recreation and play and
yeah,
live
you
around?
Know what? Yeah, definitely. It was interesting, though. It's one of those stories where, you buy a piece of property or a house and you go into the real estate office or the home sales office and they show you a picture and they go, see this piece of land right next to you? That's going to be a beautiful green park.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it and it's dirt and you kind of wonder. But we took the leap of faith.
Yeah.
And we bought the house because of the location. It's a cul-de-sac for the family. And a 9-acre park directly south of our house. And sure enough, a couple weeks after we moved in, they started building the park, and it came out to be exactly what they said it would be. And yeah, it's been incredible.
It's a beautiful park, which is where they had the Blues Festival to raise some money for your recovery.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, it's 22 years we've lived here now, and we've raised our kids here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was my 9-acre backyard.
Yeah.
We'd go out there, play frisbee, chip golf balls, football, run the dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just been paradise. And like you said, we do our annual fundraiser there every year now. Our fourth is coming up, and that'll be June 4th. And it'll be the second annual Santa Clarita Blues Society Festival. They'll be performing. They're providing all the music. And it's basically a community event for everybody and anybody to come out. There's no admission charged.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lots of things to do.
It was a great event. My kids came out, my wife.
Everybody seems to enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, it's, lots of fun.
So that's an annual event, and we'll continue that tradition. I have a trust fund, and that takes care of paying for seeing Taylor.
Right.
Taylor is an exercise physiologist, and exercise physiology and kinesiology is not covered by the medical insurance. The medical community does not believe and does not fund people to have work or have therapy done by a physiologist. Physical therapy, on the other hand, is. And there's a difference. Physical therapy, their methodology is such that you go to see them after rehab, and they work on you to the point where you've gotten pretty much to where they think they can get you. And that may be driving a wheelchair with a straw, or maybe driving the wheelchair with your hand. And that would be about it. They're not going to take you too much further. And then they're going to discharge you. Well, where do you go after you've been discharged from physical therapy? Had I given up, or had my wife given up at that point, and not found Taylor for me, I'd be rolling around in this house and
with a straw.
With a straw, more than likely, and not getting any more fit. Unless, you know, I found a way to fight on my own, which I may have done. But having found Taylor to work with has given me that additional help that I need. And it's the trust fund that pays for that, because we don't get reimbursed by insurance. And I couldn't afford to do it if I didn't have that. So that's one of the most wonderful things about the fundraiser in the park, and the fact that that gives me the ability to do that with Taylor. But the bigger question, or the bigger issue at hand here, is this. The medical industry and the insurance business needs to understand that exercise physiology and continual exercise after you're out of physical therapy, which is the same thing as getting done with your 9-to-5 job at work and going to the gym afterwards to get your cardio workout rather than going home and sitting in front of the computer.
Right.
For me, I got to get out during the day after I do the workout that I do here at the house and go down and see Taylor and have Taylor work on me and then do my my cardio workout down there in order to achieve that additional level of fitness and get better.
And you're continuing to get better.
And continuing to get better because of it. Now, what has to happen is the medical and the insurance companies need to go ahead and understand that that's something that needs to be provided to people that have spinal cord injuries and for people that have mobility challenges and if people have had strokes.
To keep them from getting the secondary
diseases. Exactly.
Right.
So that you can keep that fitness up and not get, like my wife said, the secondary diseases.
See, this is what amazes me. You're still concerned and working on staying fit and being the best that you can be.
You have to, because to be honest with you, if I don't, my life's going to be over in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. If you're a spinal cord injured person and you're over 50 years old and you don't have that level of fitness or you don't want to keep it up, you're going to get secondary diseases and you're going to end up dying young. That's all there is to it. But I have 3 kids and I have my oldest son has a fiance now, and I want to be able to go to a wedding and I want to see grandkids. And I have stuff I still want to do. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fight on, and I'm going to keep that level of fitness up.
You're still contributing. You got a lot of sharpness, just mentally, spiritually, and physically. You're coming around too, but
got stuff to do.
You light up the room, man.
It's like I said, it's just a continuing battle.
And Kim, I want you to talk a little bit about what you guys went through with the whole insurance medical thing, because that's it's a big problem in our country right now, and I don't think people really understand until something like this happens, you know, what the system is like and what it does. Or what it won't do.
Well, just like physical therapy, you know, they want to discharge you. They want to be done with you. And
because that's a protocol, right?
That's the protocol.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm a little emotional about this right now because I'm still fighting with them today. From the beginning when they told me not only out of the trauma unit was he going to go to a nursing home, but my insurance company told me he had to go to a nursing home in West Covina. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't even know where West Covina is. It's a big city.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me that there's not some place closer between here and Bakersfield.
Right.
Than West Covina.
Right.
If he's going to go somewhere. They were done with him and they wanted him discharged from care. And it's infuriating. Mm-hmm. And now, even today, the insurance company wants to discharge us and turn us over to the state of California. They want the state of California to take care of him. They want him to be on Medi-Cal, Medicare. And the private insurance that I pay for,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much detail you want, but they tell me they're not going to send anybody to help at the house. And I said, well, I work only 3 days a week, mm-hmm. and he needs to be given prescription medications. So the law says it has to be a nurse.
Right.
So they tell me they won't send a nurse to give medications that can be self-administered. So I said, well, maybe you didn't look at his diagnosis. Mm-hmm. He's quadriplegic and he needs his medication.
Right.
So then they said, well, they're not going to send a nurse to the home to give medications unless I pay an aide to be at the house to take care of his custodial needs, because a nurse cannot take care of his custodial needs. They won't pay a nurse to take care to give him a sandwich,
mm-hmm.
or brush his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, my son's there, or I'm there, or my neighbor's there. There's somebody there to take care of his needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at now. I don't know what they want, proof that there's someone here. They wanted in the nursing notes that there's someone here. I said, does it make a difference who gives him the sandwich? If my son has been running around outside and he comes inside and I don't know,
we seem to be really locked up.
You know what it is? You know? Excuse the terminology, but it's a circle jerk is what
it
is.
Absolutely.
You know, they're just looking for a way so that they can eliminate you from their liabilities,
mm-hmm.
and toss you aside. Where insurance, idealistically, you pay for it. Every time you get a paycheck, they take the money out. And the idea is that they're there to help you get better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it comes to my injury, I went through and I'm alive,
mm-hmm.
thank God. And there was a lot done. And I've gotten better. But there comes a point where they just look at you and they go, you know what? We're done with you. We're not going to go ahead and continue to fund dealing with you because we think that you're as far as you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is that they need to continue to pay for what I need. And what I need is I need therapy and I need restorative exercise, mm-hmm. which is what CORE is, where Taylor works.
Yeah, we need to mention that too. He's got a new facility.
Absolutely.
And it's called CORE, and that stands for
the Center of Restorative Exercise. And once again, it's a gym for mobility challenged people.
Down in Northridge, California.
Right.
Near Cal State Northridge.
Just north of the campus, yeah, on Reseda Boulevard. And that is actually a facility that is newly opened as of January. And it's been in the works for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a collaboration between Laquita and Aaron Baker, who is a quadriplegic that is 13 years out of his injury. And he is walking and functioning at a very high level. He can drive. There's some sports he partakes in.
Wow.
And he is kind of the poster child for what you can achieve as far as recovering from a spinal cord injury. And Taylor's obviously the third member of that collaboration. And he is the clinician with the methodology and tells everybody what they need to do and how to exercise to get better. And that's something that is not only going to exist in Northridge,
mm-hmm.
but the vision is that someday this will be in various locations throughout the United States, and it'll be a place where people can go and work out and continue to get better and have a level of fitness even with spinal cord injuries or other mobility challenges.
The whole spinal rehab thing is just amazing to me, and it's really starting to take off.
It is, and you know, you look around and you hear all these stories about what's going on. You see people getting better and doing things that never before have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe you look back and you see what happened to Christopher Reeves, you know, and I think he really woke a lot of people up
mm-hmm.
about what happens when you have a very traumatic injury. And he was an amazing spirit, and he had a lot of money and was able to do a lot of things that obviously not everybody can do, but he showed what actually is possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his spinal cord was just shy of being absolutely totally severed.
I think it was severed. It was severed right at the base of his skull, and they put it back on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you know, he did therapies in the pools.
Yeah, he was a fighter,
Yeah, an amazing fighter, and what a spirit. And he got a lot of function back that mm-hmm. nobody ever imagined could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of the opening of the book, you know, that we're reading right now and seeing all the improvements. And
now, at the fundraiser last year, I was, you know, at your booth kind of looking over the cost of all this. And you were a self-employed electrician, right? Had a business of your
own? Yeah, I had a small little business going out here in Santa Clarita. And, you know, I thought I had life figured out.
And then you had a running total of, do you have those numbers in your head? Just
I have some numbers in my head.
Yeah, could you want to talk about them?
About the fundraising?
Well, no, about just the cost of all this. And it's just...
Oh, well, I know. I think $2 million was billed the first, you know, year and a half that he was he was injured. And then, you know, but of course that goes back to the insurance company. There's mm-hmm. negotiated discounts and you know, we only had a maximum out of pocket, you know, that we paid. But the problem for us came down to his equipment, because they will only pay, I think, $5,000 a year for durable medical equipment. And his chair was over $20,000. His standing frame was $6,000 or $7,000.
Yeah, it was like $3,500.
The
expensive.
Yeah, the wheelchair and the van.
Right, and then when I was talking to you last year, you were really motivated to get one of those NuStep T5 machines at home. Have you been able to do that yet?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important for me to get out and not just be homebound.
Yeah.
And my wife's been very adamant about the fact that I will not just end up sitting around the house.
Right.
And, you know, we wanted to get a T5,
mm-hmm.
and it's still kind of in the cards, but Kim looked at me and she said, you know what? If we get a T5 and you have it here at the house, you're going to end up riding that thing here and you're not going to go out. So we kind of put it on the back burner, and we make the trip down to Northridge 3 times a week, sometimes 4, and I do that to ride the T5. And work out with Taylor. And it gets us out, you know, we do our running around, our little errands, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we're out and we see people. And it's I think it's a healthier way to go about life rather than load my house up like a gym and just get stuck inside and I never, ever go anywhere.
And we're talking more about the mental, spiritual side, because you're tapping into Taylor's energy instead of just the caloric burn and the sweat and the fitness side of it, you know.
I like to equate it to the fact that, you know, people buy gym equipment, personal gyms, and they put them in their house. I'm gonna work out every day here at the house. And I'll tell you honestly, I'm not a big fan of that, because, you know, and my wife will giggle when I say this. I loved going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, a lot of people don't understand that. I think there's a small percentage of us, and I think you're one of them, that, you know, going to the gym is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You look forward to it. And I always used to joke with my wife, is, you know, the joke was that I go and I get on my elliptical trainer and I got a bunch of really nice sightseeing out in front of me and it doesn't suck, you know? And I get my aerobic workout and I go lift some weights and then I go on my merry way.
Yeah.
But if you have equipment in the house, you may want to get on it, do it on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
but it's less motivating than if you go to an environment where you have other people working out and you get that vibe. And that, like you said, when I go to Taylor, you play off that. He's there to help you. There's a couple other people in the gym.
Yeah.
They're working out and it's very healthy. It's very uplifting. And I've always liked it and I still love going there and getting that.
Yeah, there's a social aspect to that. And do you have does he have a website for that new company or?
You know, Core? It's interesting. They're still kind of working on that.
Okay.
I'll get that. I don't know exactly what the website is. Kim, do you?
We can hook all that up. If nothing else, a phone number and address. And I want to make sure to hook your website as tomsrecovery.com and get the word out a little bit about the fundraiser coming up.
Absolutely.
To help you keep seeing Taylor and keep improving and just keep inspiring people, you know, and contributing.
You know, I think that's a lot of it, too. When I get up on stage at the fundraiser and people actually get to hear me talk and mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, say hello to everybody and let them know what's going on and how I've been continuing to work on getting better. And like you said, last year I got up out of my chair and stood there and said a few words. And mm-hmm. this year I'm working on an even better trick, so to speak.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that is. I'm not going to say what it is now, but, you know, for me to be able to show improvement every year is very important. And that's part of the good fight.
You even had a little semi-lap dancer last year. If I remember right, I got a few photos of that, in fact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was Lori Movan.
Yeah. Great blues player, by the way.
Yeah, she was quite the performer.
Yeah,
She came over there and...
she had some fun with you.
Yeah, she did. It was fun.
And so, kind of wrapping up the show here, what weekend is that and where is it at and who's putting it on so we get that word out?
All right. It's June 4th.
Yeah.
And it'd be right here at Mountain View Park, which is... just north of Copper Hill on Saco Canyon.
In Santa Clarita, Saugus area, right?
Yeah, in Santa Clarita. And it's going to be from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the second annual Santa Clarita Valley Blues Festival.
Good times, too, for the family.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a total family event. The music, like I said, is all blues. Very, very cool to come out and hang out on a beautiful late spring, early summer day.
Nice crowd.
Yeah. Green
Big
grass
car show.
And shade.
Car show too. Yeah, yeah.
Car show and shine. There'll be a vendor row with approximately 20 different vendors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the jellies, the jams, the t-shirts, whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing the, we like to say, the world famous Santa Clarita Valley Mountain View hot dog chili dogs. We barbecue a bunch of those up, and that's sold as the meal, and that's kind of a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a raffle for gift baskets, which, from what I've seen over the past years, they're pretty incredible gift baskets.
Cool.
And a kids zone with lots of things for the kids to do. And it's a lot of fun. We had fire truck rides the last couple years. And, you know, for everybody who wants to come out and enjoy a good time.
It is a good time. I was there last year just to take photos, and I called my wife, and I said, get the Turbo Twins over here. This is fun.
Yeah,
so she rolled in later that afternoon and hung out a while and had some music, and they got to dance around. And
great.
Good time. So I'll make sure and hook all that information up on the page. It'll build you on leanbraze.com.
Great.
Anything else you want to say before we round out here today?
Well, I want to say thank you to you
for
coming over and, you know, interviewing my wife and I and my nurse Cheryl and kind of giving me the opportunity to get my story out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in along with the fact that you're running the Lean Berets,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a very cool name for, you know, a fitness group.
Uh-huh.
I really, really can't stress enough how important it is for everybody and anybody to always pursue treating your body like a temple.
Mm-hmm.
Eat right, get your rest, and make sure you exercise every day.
No excuses, right?
Exactly. It doesn't matter if you're a quad or if you're amongst the walking. Your life will be better in every aspect. You will feel better, you'll sleep better, and you will function better, and you'll live a longer, healthier life.
I really appreciate that, man. And you're every bit of the Lean Beret tribe that's growing around the country. In fact, I brought some shirts today for you guys. So
cool.
And just a real inspiration. I just, you know, want to put this out there. If you have a corporation or business or group and you're looking for an inspirational speaker, man, I think Tom would be a great one. And, you know, kick a few bucks in that trust fund and keep him moving and inspiring other people around America and beyond, because this guy's on fire. And I got a good idea. He's not going to quit.
Nope, not anytime soon.
Well, I really appreciate the time and letting me run all these wires all over your living room here.
Yeah, no, and, it's got a good vibe.
Yeah, and Cheryl coming on and helping us with some nurse comments, and Kim for everything you've done, and just contributing to making this country a better place. And really appreciate the time, and we're going to hook all that stuff up in the Braze. And thanks a lot. You've been listening to the Lean Braze Radio Show at theleanbraze.com. Supercharged rockabilly today provided by Hot Rod Walt and the Psycho DeVilles. Until next time, keep your foot on the accelerator for health and rock on like Tom. I know you got a big old rocket in you. You got a big